Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Robert Coulson, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Thanks very much for joining me today, Rob.
Thanks for having me again, Steve.
All right. This week, it is Moscow and beyond. I'd like to talk about two developments, I think, show that the Russian state is continuing its current crackdown, or stepping it up, in fact, and that it is gearing up for the parliamentary elections that must be held by September 19th. That's the State Duma, the lower house of parliament. Now, one development directly involves Alexei Navalny. For the second time in a few weeks, the opposition politician's whereabouts are unknown to his relatives and supporters, lawyers, etc. To recap briefly, Navalny was arrested shortly after returning just under 2 months ago from Germany, where he was recovering from a near-fatal nerve agent poisoning that he blames on Russian President Vladimir Putin and the Federal Security Service. Navalny was later sentenced to serve 2.5 years in prison due to a parole violation claim that he says is absurd. He was transferred out of Moscow's Matrioshkaya Tishina jail shortly after his appeal against that ruling was rejected. And after several days of uncertainty, it emerged on March 3rd that he was in another jail in the Vladimir Oblast east of Moscow. And then last Friday, on March 12th, his allies were told, and his lawyers were told, that he was no longer there, but they were not told where he was. And 3 days later, I think that's still unknown, last I checked. Now, the practice of not telling an inmate's relatives or lawyers where he or she is until they arrive at the prison where they're to serve their sentence is standard in Russia, but as far as I know. But this still looks like an awful lot like trolling to me. Rob, what do you think is going on here?
I don't see it as trolling, Steve. I wouldn't read too much into it at this point. It is the standard practice in Russia for some absurd reason, and prisoners' rights advocates have been complaining about this for years, that when a prisoner is in transit, they have no contact with anyone and their location is never revealed. I remember when Khodorkovsky was—he was convicted. He was sent all the way to Chita in the Far East, and he was missing for weeks. If I remember right, it was 2 or 3, even 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's the common practice in Russia, and once you get sort of into this machinery, you get caught up in that common practice. In Navalny's case, he, according to what I've read, he is required to serve out his sentence within 500 kilometers of the place that he was registered, which is Moscow. So he'll definitely be in the European part of Russia unless they completely ignore the law. So it's likely that these rumors that he'll be in Vladimir Oblast or Pokrov area are likely to be true. But he won't have the right to make a phone call until after, or he has the right to make a phone call within 10 days of his arrival at the prison where he's going to be held. So normally prisoners get to make that call within a couple of days usually to their lawyer or to their closest relatives. But all the speculation is that Putin will make Navalny wait until the 10th day. And so that would sort of be a little bit of trolling, I think. But I think what we're seeing here is an absurd anachronism of the Russian prison system at work rather than something specifically aimed at Navalny.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's interesting. And just to clarify, when you say within the inmate has the right to make a call within 10 days, but it's up to the authorities to say when during those 10 days.
So absolutely.
I see. Yeah. Okay. So it's possible that I was going to say, you know, the prison where he had been expected to be sent in Pokrov, EK2, you know, is obviously quite close to the jail in Vladimir where he was. So, you know, that shouldn't take take much more than a few hours, in fact, to get there. But as you say, if they're kind of withholding his phone call and he is actually there, you know, that's another possibility, I guess. And I mean, I think, you know, trolling or not, it does seem to serve the purpose, I guess, for the Kremlin of, you know, making the point that he is under, that Navalny is kind of under the control of the authorities now.
Yeah, but that is a little bit backfiring. I've seen on social media that the hashtag "Where is Navalny" is definitely trending all over, and people are using the fact that he's missing to post photographs of him and his wife, quotes from his quite moving final speech in court, and that sort of thing. So, I mean, once again, by doing this, the regime is giving him the kind of publicity and cachet that he otherwise didn't have before this whole poisoning thing started.
Right, and that is, yeah, that's a good point, and it's sort of been happening ever since, well, since he was poisoned and also since he arrived, you know, in Russia. In fact, since before he arrived, and they diverted the flight from one Moscow airport to another. It's kind of adding to the attention on him. All right, well, the other development I wanted to discuss is one that was unexpected, I think, but also seems like part of a persistent crackdown on Kremlin opponents. And in this case, not just opponents, but independent politicians, you know, who have various views. Police raided a forum attended, this was on Saturday, police raided a forum attended by independent municipal lawmakers at a hotel in Moscow. I believe the lawmakers were from around Russia, but the hotel in Moscow. And police detained pretty much everybody who was there, almost 200 people. Now, the authorities said those detained were not following COVID restrictions, though I think most of those restrictions have been lifted in Russia and Moscow. And also that the forum had links to a, quote, undesirable organization. This was apparently a reference to Open Russia, which is supported by the formerly long imprisoned and now exiled Putin foe and former oil tycoon Mikhail Khodorkovsky. Rob, tell us a little about what happened at this forum and how it fits into the situation that's unfolding in this pretty striking period, probably an eight-month period between Navalny's return on January 17th and the State Duma elections, which have to be held by September 19th.
Yeah, the more I look into it and the more I think about this strange event on Saturday, the more significant it seems to me. First of all, most of the people who were at that conference were actually elected municipal deputies, officials from mm-hmm. across the country. And the fact that they were all detained en masse as officials is already pretty outrageous, in my opinion. It also shows a new sort of tactic, a strange new sort of tactic by the Kremlin, because normally when they want to break up an event of this sort, they lean on the organizer, or they have a fire inspection or a flood or something like that, and it just sort of accidentally doesn't happen. But in this case, they really made a show of going in force with, you know, very large numbers of police, and arresting every single person, not just the organizers, but every single person who was in the hall, except for a few of the journalists, which was a very, it was a demonstrative signal to send out. It could be that a lot of the people who were there, who are municipal deputies who are planning to run for the Duma, mm-hmm. Or who are thinking about it in the past. So, you know, you could be sending a signal to people who are thinking about running that, you know, they might want to think twice. All of the people who are at the forum are now have a new administrative charge against them, and they'll have an administrative conviction soon. And so that will play in later if they get detained again. They could be, you know, their sentences could be viewed more harshly because it would be a second, third, fourth, fifth offense.
Right.
That sort of thing. But what strikes me personally, I was very skeptical when there was talk that the Kremlin is afraid of Navalny and that sort of thing at first. But now I'm more and more being convinced that they are actually really concerned. I mean, we're still more than 6 months out from the election, And this event, I mean, most likely, it could be held at any time, of course.
Right.
But this event was hardly even on my radar. I knew that it was going to happen, but I wasn't really paying any attention to it and that sort of thing. And they, the fact that it was so prominently, obviously, on the Kremlin's radar just really strikes me as odd. So this far out in the elections, they're really shaping who's going to run, what the message is going to be, in a much much more forceful way than they have in past elections.
Yeah, and I guess I mean some of the factors involved kind of fit in. You know, you say you know how the elections will be run, painting you know, this entire thing essentially as the operation or you know the of an undesirable organization, and you know referring to Khodorkovsky who's abroad, you know, sort of similar to just in the key of you know of claiming that evidence that Navalny is you know is a Western plot, essentially a Western foil. So I think it's a way, I guess, for the Kremlin to kind of paint all opponents or even potential opponents in the elections, opponents to United Russia, you know, with that brush. And you know, I think it does suggest that they're concerned. I mean, and some of the reasons are, you know, United Russia, I think recent polls showed it's, you know, less popular than ever. So, you know, as you say, I think they're looks like the state is thinking about these things, you know, well in advance.
Yeah, I'm seeing a pattern from the Navalny poisoning through the Navalny imprisoning, through these very harsh modifications they've made to the foreign agents law, which will restrict the media and political activity, and demonstrations of all sorts. Even a political rally, in theory, could be called an illegal foreign demonstration and that sort of thing. And the new restrictions that we're seeing on the internet, they're going after Twitter and things like that. It already begins to look like of a piece to control this political process that's going on. And like I say, not that previous political processes weren't controlled, but this one seems to be much more strictly controlled and much earlier than what we've seen in the past.
Right. It does. You do kind of get the impression that things have really changed pretty, you know, somewhat substantially over the past 6 months or so, I guess.
I think that in a sense, the Kremlin is running out of tools to manipulate the process and to create this sort of managed democracy that they've done for so many years. But the waning of the Crimea effect that the United Russia and Putin personally had, and the problems caused by the pandemic and the reaction to the pandemic, the economic impact of the pandemic, all these things, they just don't seem to have as many tools to sort of spin the popularity of the current regime and moving on and going forward with it. So they're leaning really hard on fear of, you know, this made up fear that they're foreign interference all the time, and just very harsh and very primitive crackdown methods.
So essentially running out of tools and using some of the bluntest ones, I guess.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Rob. We're running out of time. I guess we'll wrap it up there. Rob, thanks very much for joining me.
All right. Thanks for having me again. Take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks. I'll be back next Monday for another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out later this week for my newsletter, The Week in Russia. Thanks for listening.